never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman. Well, one of the two Hagmans. Not quite a full boat here. Joe's recovering from surgery. Successful. He'll be back in on Monday. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer going to be in studio tomorrow. And in fact, Joe might show up tomorrow to say hello to Coach Dobbenmeyer. And he might stick around. So it'll be an interesting day, interesting interview. And of course, I was able to have some dialogue with the coach today, and he's all fired up, ready to go. So, and by the way, Coach Dobbenmeyer, as well as Josh Tully, will be at the upcoming Hear the Watchman conference in Knoxville, Tennessee, September 30th, October 1st, and 2nd. Josh Tully is going to be a speaker at that conference. Folks, don't miss it. I mean, you can listen to what Josh is saying here. Now you've got a chance to rub elbows with him and meet him up close. And fantastic. So that's coming up. So make your reservations for that. And just trying to think what else we have on the docket. No, that's about it. And folks, by the way, Josh is an author. Josh Tully is an author. He's got a YouTube channel. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. Josh Tully, Tolley. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. His programs are up there. I had watched yesterday, his program from yesterday, The Devil Himself Trembles at These Bikers Want In. We had discussed that yesterday. Fantastic. Just a fantastic topic. But I'm going to turn it over to you, Josh. Take us where you want to take us. In fact, I'm going to kind of cop out a little bit because I'm having a rough time here. I'm going to feign illness, actually. I'm fighting off both sneezes and congestion, trying to make my words out here. So, if I can ask you to kind of pick up the heavy load and take us where your heart leads us. Take us where you'd like to take us right now.
Sounds good. Well, you know, I wanted to touch upon something that we kind of hit near the end of that segment, and that's this idea that entrepreneurship, money, actually impacts marriages as well. And I teach this in a seminar, and people who want to come to a seminar, just go to joshtully.com, make sure you're subscribed to us, and whenever we host one, we'll let you know. But I teach this in the seminar that right now, the divorce rate is between 50 and 60%. It's terrible. The problems within marriage, even those that are staying together, are still terrible. I forgot the exact stat, but it's somewhere between 30 and 40% of marriages will experience infidelity. And if you go to a marriage counselor, a pastor, a therapist, whatever, they're going to tell you that the top reasons for divorce are money, communication, sex, and infidelity. And when I wrote my first book, Quit Your Job or Die, which you can still get on Amazon, it's still out there, I did a lot of research into money and marriage and how those things affect each other. And the reality is, like I referenced yesterday, the average American married couple spends 19 minutes of alone time together every day. So that is just absolutely crazy. You cannot have a quality marriage in 19 minutes. So what happens is, if you look at the first one, communication, sex, money, communication, sex, money, and infidelity, how much communication are you supposed to have in 19 minutes? It's not going to happen. So instead, we come up with books like, you know, The Love Languages, and nothing against Gary. It's a great book. Everybody should read it. That's not what I'm saying. But we come up with books and conferences and, you know, remember to do these little things. And those little things are important. But the point is, we are trying to supplement the loss of time that we should be spending with our spouse. So we come up with all these things that we can do when we're supposed to be with them, when we're really not with them. So communication, of course, is obviously not going to be good. Then, of course, we have the sex. Well, again, 19 minutes. That's all I'm saying. And, you know, we know that men are like microwaves. Women are like crockpots. But in 19 minutes, really? I mean, you're supposed to, that's all the time you have, and then we wonder why. Why? Why is there this impossibility to maintain good sex lives with our spouses? Well, it's because you're working all the time. And then money. Notice how it's never too much of it that causes the argument. It's never, oh my goodness, honey, you just keep leaving hundreds all over the place, and it's really starting to get on my nerves. The argument is always over a lack thereof. So for a long time I was teaching, well, the reality is that the cause for divorce is money, 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 and infidelity. Infidelity, well, that's just you. That's just on you. Something's wrong in your heart. So that's some sort of personal issue. But if you really think about it, it's not. It's not. Even infidelity has its root in employment and money. If you look at the most common situation, a couple gets married, they say, mwah, 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 I love you, and I love you too, and then they come back from their weekend away, and he goes off to work. He goes off to work where there's a woman there who sees him making decisions, being decisive, taking risks, being a leader, doing all the things that a woman loves to see a man do. Then he comes home and puts on his sweatpants, cracks open a beer, turns on the game, and spends 19 wonderful minutes with his wife. But then on her side, too, she puts on her pretty makeup, her pretty clothes, pretty perfume, goes off to work, typically for a man. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It just is. Typically for a man. And she gets to be his helpmeet. She gets to see him make decisions, be decisive, be a man. Well, do you know where the number one place for infidelity is? Employment! I wonder why. And then she comes home and takes off all the pretty stuff, puts on her sweatpants or yoga pants, and gripes at him. And she'll say something like, well, you're not really a good man. You're not making the decisions you need to provide for my family. And why won't you take out the trash and all these things? And what's really happening is she is saying, why can't you be like the man at work that I'm his helpmeet for? And he's saying, well, you're just nagging me. You don't actually help me. You don't encourage me. You don't respect me. Why can't you be like the woman that I spend 40 hours a week with? So the reality is that employment is extremely dangerous to your marriage. But again, it's something that we typically don't teach in our men's groups. We typically don't teach in our churches. Well, how is she supposed to be your helpmate if you don't have anything that she's going to help you with? You're supposed to be building a life together. And then what typically happens is the last kid will turn 18, go off to college, and they'll look at each other and say, well, I don't feel like I know you anymore. Well, the reality is you don't know them anymore because you didn't really know them to begin with. You've spent 19 minutes a day with them. And for goodness sakes, my motorcycle knows me better than most spouses know each other. So we have to, again, get to this point, Doug, where we're honest with each other. I understand that there are some awesome guests talking about some awesome things. We have shared guests in that way. You know, whether it's somebody talking about UFOs or demons or New World Order or whatever. It's awesome stuff. But when are we going to sit back, look in the mirror and say, hey, wait a second, there might be something happening here. There might be a conspiracy inside of my own house. The devil might have done something here where he's making me work with a woman for 30, 40 hours a week. That's a conspiracy. Matter of fact, the Bible even alludes to this. It says we do not fight against flesh and blood, correct? So
right.
We have to say to ourselves, ah, man, if we're going to fight, we have to fight for our families. So that's just one of the things I wanted to bring up before we
that's so important, Josh. I think you really hit a home run on that one. Absolutely. Look at the devil already inside the gates, inside your home, perhaps, and that's most of us will find issues outside of that home life, but a lot of times the real problem exists within our own four walls. So I agree. Very interesting and very telling. And I've known a lot of people that have gone through divorces for a lot of reasons, but you're right. It's usually, well, money and not the abundance of it, and infidelity. And I understand how that could happen if you're only spending under 20 minutes a day with the person that you promised to spend the rest of your life with. It just doesn't make any sense. Wow.
Yeah, and there's no shared vision and there's no shared dream. It's almost like we say, okay, what's your goal in life? And you can do that while you're married. And what's his goal in life? Okay, and you can do that while you're married. And you're not really helping each other do anything. Well, that is completely contrary to what the Bible said. The Bible said, wait a second, it's not right for this dude to be alone. I'm paraphrasing. God didn't say dude. But it's not right for this dude to be alone. I got to make him a helpmeet. Well, today we're saying, I really don't want my wife to be the one that helps me because that doesn't pay well enough, I guess. So I'm going to go off and I'm going to work someplace else and have a total stranger get to know me and I'm going to fall in love with her. And you know what's crazy is they really do fall in love. They really do. And as much as, you know, people who are cheated on, and I've been cheated on, I know it hurts. But as much as that hurts, it's true. And then you ask yourself, why? Well, because they spend all day together. And they're doing something together. So, of course, there's going to be a love connection that builds there. So, anyway, I just wanted to talk about that. I know we're running fast with time, and I did want to cover
the Civil War issue. Yeah, let's do that. Please, go for it.
Okay. So people ask me all the time, all right, Josh, I get it. I need to buy your book. I need to attend a seminar. I need to book you in our church. Totally sold. Let's do this. But what happens if there is a civil war? And it seems like that is the thing that everybody is suspecting that someday is going to happen, but nobody really wants to say out loud. And I want to reiterate to all the FBI agents and NSA agents that are listening, them and their pretend girlfriends, I am not advocating violence in any way, shape, or form. I am not urging civil war. That's not it at all. But it's a question that continually is asked, so I'm going to answer it as a figurative situation, a fictional tale, and that's exactly what it is. So with that said and out of the way, how this would work, if this were really to happen, it depends on when. See, we all know that if a civil war happened 100 years ago, that the troops would be on the people's sides. They would not violate the Constitution. They would not kill them just to get a gun because there was a different sort of people then. We raised our children differently. Well, today, we raise our children in the opposite direction. Look at the police killings, the violence, the thug mentality, if you will, in law enforcement. I had a police chief for a very large city. Well, he was assistant police chief, so second. He was saying, Josh, I absolutely fear the police. I tell my children to fear the police. So this is a real thing. Things have changed. We are not this innocent nation where we are innocent until proven guilty. We are guilty until we're proven innocent, and even then, most likely, we're going to be found guilty anyway. So if a civil war is going to happen, you're going to want it to happen as soon as possible because the social decay in this country is going to continue. So you want it to happen while there's still people with some heart, some sense, and some maturity behind some of the big guns, if you will. But the reality is this. The reality is that if there were to be a civil war and we were making a movie about it, you would have a situation where, one, the country is too big to completely occupy. We've talked about that yesterday. Even if you took every cop and every troop, it is still too big. This is a mamma jamma country. So you would first start to see pockets of control. You would have to control political centers, money centers, and shipping routes and ports and that sort of thing. Which means if you're out of those sort of areas, you're actually going to fare pretty well. You might have some local law enforcement, small departments, 10 officers or less. Some of them might actually agree with your side, so you might be pretty good. The other thing that people don't take into consideration is you would also have help from Russia and or China. And yeah, I'm meaning help. Think about it. America has helped people in their civil wars, have we not? If there's a civil war on this planet, we choose sides, we fund adversaries. We're doing it right now in Syria, for goodness sakes. We did it twice in Egypt in the past 24 months. Well, the same is true with other powers. They see a window of opportunity, and they help the resistance. And right now, 1,000 heads across the country listening to this just went, huh, I never thought of that. But it's true. So if that were to happen, you would have Russian and Chinese allies quicker than, you know, you could, I don't know, run a race or whatever. But you would have that. You would also have this crashing of an economic system. And to be honest, that's kind of good, because we would get back to a place where your food would actually be food again. We would get to a place where you could have sub-economies under a large economy, because there would be a disruption in the flow of economics, and that allows for opportunity. So that's my kind of take on civil war. And it, again, in a weird tangential sort of way, it kind of points out why entrepreneurship is so important. I have a grandmother. She was young during the Great Depression, but she was around, and coming out of it anyway. And her family lived in a rural area. Her family didn't even realize there was a depression, because you grew your own garden, you hunted deer, you fished out of the lake, you built your own house, you used money maybe 4 times a year. It's the urban people who got the worst of it. It was the people living in Chicago, the people living in New York, the people living in, you know, Boston. They took the brunt of the catastrophe that came out of it, because they weren't allowed to be entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs aren't just entrepreneurs when it comes to money. Entrepreneurs are people who know how to barter with food. They know how to appreciate ammo. Like, for example, let's say something bad was going to happen in your town, and you have a nice new shiny Lexus, and you're fearing some sort of thing that's going to declare martial law, or you're going to have to bug out. Of course, you're not going to want to take the Lexus. So you're going to have to learn how to get value out of something that you actually don't want. Another great example of that is gold. People ask me all the time, Josh, what do you think of gold and silver and precious metals? Cool. My overall thought process, because I love logic, reason, and strategy, my overall thought process is one's strategy should never be limited to one strategy. So with that in mind, when you look at gold and silver and precious metals, yes, there is a place for them. Yes, there is a place in them for you. But you have to be strategic, and you have to say, well, what am I going to do with it? So for example, let's say you had a gold dollar. Gold U.S. dollar, right? Now, we all know that it's worth about $1,200 in real life. But let's say the economy tanks, you have a Mad Max world, whatever it is you think you're going to have to prep for, and you're trying to get out of your town. Now, you collected these gold dollar coins just for this kind of situation. So away through town you go, and you're thinking to yourself, well, we're going to need to get some provisions. Maybe we'll get that beat-up truck right there. And you get out of your car, and you're negotiating with your typical average American, and you're going to say, hey, I want to trade you this gold coin for that truck. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen jaywalking or any of these man-on-the-street sort of reports, but what's the average American think of something that says one U.S. dollar?
Yeah.
They're going to look at you and say, hey, buddy, I don't want no dollar. And you're going to try to sit there and say, oh, no, it's actually not a dollar. It's worth, you know, $1,300. Well, that ain't going to work for me. So even in that sort of situation, you have to say, hey, wait a second. Well, then maybe instead 1 ounce gold bars would work better because I'm knowing the mindset of my customer base. And I know that they're going to understand the marketing behind a gold bar rather than a gold coin. So even like things like that, Doug, it's amazing how entrepreneurial skills, marketing, understanding your customers, ability to negotiate, product storage and distribution, all come into play even in a prepper situation like that. So,
finely tuned.
So finely tuned.
You know, and we have to think. I mean, this is what I'm getting from you. We have to think ahead, and not just one or two steps ahead, but multiple steps ahead. And I like how you painted that picture because, yeah, you're not going to take the Lexus or the whatever. Plus, of course, you're making yourself a target depending on where you're going. And there's a lot of issues here. But you're right. You know, what kind of surprised me what you said, going back a little ways. And I really never gave it that much thought, folks. Did you hear what Josh said about you're going to have involvement? Foreign involvement, most likely, in a civil war. Russia, perhaps, China, other countries. But they're going to be fighting for us, right?
Well, they're going to be fighting for one side, that's for sure. They're not going to stay out of it. that would be the first time in the history of the planet that the other prevailing powers didn't get involved in a civil war inside the other prevailing powers' civil warship. So, yeah, they would definitely be involved in some way, shape, or form, and you have to take that into account. But, I mean, a great example, I'm kind of glad you brought that up. I was watching Red Dawn, the old version. Not the new one, the old Patrick Swayze. And I was watching it with some family and friends, and, you know, this idea that somehow Russia took over the Pacific Northwest, and people were saying, well, that I was watching it with, well, that wouldn't happen. I mean, our Air Force would push them back, and we would fight them, and this is just fake. And I said, no, it's actually not as far off base as you think, because think about this. If we were to be attacked at home, what's the first thing that the military is going to do? First, we have to realize almost half of it's not in this country. Then we have to realize 7 out of 10 people in the military are not fighting forces. I understand they all go through boot camp, but, you know, just being real here. 7 out of 10 of them are not fighting forces. As soon as you were attacked, the bases would be fortified. Because you need to protect where you're keeping your military resource. The political system would be fortified, which means there are going to be very few people to come to your rescue, to be quite honest. And because we're such a massive country, you could actually see something like Red Dawn happen and not have a U.S. response for maybe 1, 2, 3 weeks, because they would have to, from a strategic standpoint, devote resources to preventing their infrastructure from being attacked and falling. So we tend to fail to put logistics into play when it comes to things like this, but logistics is exactly where we get the difference between some sort of weird fantasy fiction, some sort of fear porn scenario, and a reality-based situation like we would have in that situation. For goodness sakes, I mean, Even in World War II in Germany, not even all of Germany could have been occupied. There were pockets of freedom inside Germany. You don't think there's going to... And that's the size of Wisconsin. You don't think there's going to be pockets of freedom inside a country this big? Come on.
You know... No, I mean, you're right. You're exactly right. And I'm working through this in my mind. Everything that you said to me is right on the money. We have to think through these things that we talk about. Now, I will say that much of, in my view anyway, much of the element, the antagonistic element, I suppose, I could describe it this way, or a significant number of the antagonistic element has been brought into this country, in my view, through this under the guise of immigration, refugee resettlement, whatever you want to call it, immigration from 65 to the current day. So we've already kind of, we're already at a lack of assimilation problem there. And we had talked earlier about the situation in Minnesota, I believe it was, with the,
yeah,
so we're seeing sides already forming, right? And these cliques you'd use the term in a different context, tribe, but we're seeing this already take place.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, and that's why creating a tribe is so important. It really is. People should be part of a tribe. And we right. don't even know what that looks like anymore. But, I mean, just from a power structure standpoint, leaders of tribes in a lot of Native American nations, the leader of a tribe didn't hold all the power. Matter of fact, in a lot of cases, he actually got less of the provision. So it really was the least amongst you will be greatest. But we have to get to this point where we say, okay, these are the people who I'm loyal to. These are the objectives that our group has. Because if we were to face some sort of collapse or fall, that the gangs are already tribal. The motorcycle clubs are already tribal. The Muslim population's already tribal. The Jewish population's already tribal. What about the mass majority of Americans? The average, everyday Asian, white, black, Hispanic American. We have no tribes that we're part of. And we are actually being taught that being part of a tribe is a bad thing. Oh, you don't want to be part of a motorcycle club. Like that show that you listened to that I did yesterday with that biker club. You know, he was talking about how they're judged, they pull into a gas station and oh no, here's the big bad bikers. But is that true? No, it's not. The opposite is true, that he's part of a group of men and their wives and families that are there for each other no matter what. They took a pledge, they took an oath, they made a covenant. And we don't understand the importance of covenants anymore. Look at how frivolously we treat our faith. Well, God doesn't treat it he doesn't treat it that way. He treats it in a way that is literally a matter of life and death. But we're just like, oh well, I'm just gonna toss this on the wayside and maybe I'll pick it up once in a while. And what is one of the biggest fears when it comes to Christians? Oh, I don't want people to think I'm one of those kooky Christians. I don't want people to think I'm one of those, maybe they'll think I'm in a cult or something. And we are so afraid of that we don't move forward with what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to be different. God said you are supposed to be a set-apart people. Well, are we doing what we need to do to set ourselves apart? I was talking about this today. Why are there 31,000 or 41,000 Christian denominations? If this is supposedly the truth, why are there, and that's a real number, it's somewhere between 31,000 and 41,000 Christian denominations. Why? And the reality is that we don't have a commitment to the faith. Instead, we are emotionally turned. Wherever our emotion wants to go, oh, I don't agree with what they said, or I don't like the pastor, or they don't have good worship music, or the kids ministry doesn't have the right coloring books, we're going to leave. And it's just so terrible to think that our emotions are driving our logic, when in reality, your logic is supposed to frame out your emotions. And that's why we can't create tribes. That's why Christians don't want to be seen as different. I watched this atheist make a great point. He made a great point about how Christians just look and sound like the real world. He took a Christian movie and held it up next to a secular movie. He took a Christian band and held it up next to a secular band. And it's really just cover songs of secular music. Christian branding and shirts look like Coca-Cola and Nike. We're not unique because we don't want to be. Well, folks, We have to be. We have to be. We have to say to ourselves, how are we going to be different? Because that is what is persecuted. Yep. Because the first thing people say is, well, Josh, I don't know about that. I mean, look what happened in Waco. Those people were different. Look what happened to anybody who says they're different. They get their heads chopped off. Yep. That's exactly right. When not enough of them do it, yep, you're right. But when enough of them do it, nah. Folks,
that's a great point.
Go ahead.
That's a terrific point. And I use that analogy with the TSA. You know, one person creates a problem or says, no, you're not gonna nuke me or grope me. And they get arrested. Two people or three people do it. Nah, it creates a scene and maybe there's some press coverage. I don't know. But if everyone did it, what a big difference we could make. And if everyone did it just once or twice, or, you know, but hopefully sustained, I mean, we have the power to make a difference. So with what you just said, yes, we have that power. We just need to use it. And Waco or not, I mean, and a lot of that, too, that characterization of these different breakoffs or these different groups, intentionally deceptive, incredibly deceptive. So be careful what you read and what you listen to. And we saw this at the Bundy Ranch and, you know, the mischaracterizations.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, just one more thing. The other thing, too, that maybe you can speak to is one of the things that I like to talk about is the fact that everyone's waiting for that big event to take place, whatever it might be. I don't know.
Right.
But that Lexington and Concord moment. Meanwhile, we're missing all of the, well, everything that's going on around us. We're looking for the big event and losing the smaller battles. So that's, you know, we should redirect our focus.
Absolutely. And like any fan of football will tell you, a game is won or lost on the inches. It's not won or lost on the big plays. So you're right. We're losing it on inches, and they get to miscategorize. So we create a fear and say, oh, we don't want to be like fill in the blank. We don't want to actually stand up for what we believe in. Can't we just coexist? Can't we listen to everybody's perspective? Can't everybody be right? Can't everybody be right, Josh? And the answer is no. But we're not mature enough to say that. No, not everybody's right. No, not everybody's getting to heaven. No, there's not multiple ways there. No, it doesn't work that way. But if we actually stood up together, you're absolutely right. And it's kind of like cows. Let me tell you a story about cows. A cow, let's say a cow is 1,200 pounds, right? There is no way that a barbed wire fence will actually stop a cow if the cow wants out. The cow just is convinced that, ow, that hurt a little bit. I got pricked. So I'm going to stay here. But 1,200 pounds moving against a wooden fence is not going to stop the cow. The cow doesn't know that it's better to face the little bit of pain now than to get your head chopped off tomorrow. Well, now let's add 350 million cows to the pen. The only reason those cows are there is because they're not walking east. If those cows decided to walk east, there's nothing that is stopping them. Their captivity is an illusion. And every farmer knows that. So, I mean, it's, you know, another example. I saw this picture of a kid in India who was leading an elephant around with a stick. If the elephant actually figured out he's an elephant, the kid is gone. The elephant is out of here. And this is no exaggeration. That's exactly how they deal with elephants. I'm serious. If you talk to elephant trainers, the problem that they have with an elephant, once the elephant figures out he's an elephant, they put the elephant down because there's no longer any way to control him. They will actually kill the elephant because after that point, the elephant realizes, oh, Bubba, you ain't stopping me with that little stick. So they'll literally kill the elephant. Well, folks, that's where we are. There's 350 million of us. Just walk east. They can't stop you. But instead, we're fighting over the stupidest stuff. we're fighting over, you know, well, Josh, you know, I don't like the Methodist, I'm a Baptist. Or Josh, I don't like libertarians, I'm a conservative. Or Josh, I don't like, hey, that's like saying, hey, cow, I don't like your spots, I'm a Holstein, you're a Jersey. Well, wake up, folks, you're all cows. The farmer doesn't care what kind of cow you are. The head's coming off. Does the devil only go after Baptists? No. Does the devil only go after charismatics? No. So why are you? Why are we doing this stupid thing? You are actually That's making right. the devil's job easier. The devil has to be sit back thinking, no way. No way is it this easy. They're actually fighting each other. I don't even have to get involved anymore. Because if yeah. you think about it, Peter and Paul, they butt heads. They didn't agree. But they said, come, let us reason together. They didn't say, okay, everybody, there's 12 of us. Let's all start 12 denominations. They said, no, there's 12 of us that don't agree. We are forming one tribe, and we're going to work this crap out, man. We are going to get this right internally because we are stronger together than we are separate. And today we're like, ah, nah, you know, I don't like my neighbor, so I'm out of here. And we give up on everything. And well, then we complain that the New World Order did it to us. No, that's like complaining the farmer did it to you when you had the gate open all day.
That's right. And I would urge everyone to listen to the 2 hours last night in addition to tonight.
Yeah.
And you'll get this well-rounded presentation by Josh Tolley. His website, Josh Tolley, TOLLEY.com. You'll get this well-rounded presentation that really hits everything home. And so for anyone who sends me an email saying, well, wait a minute, you just talk about the impending doom, but you don't talk about what we can do about it. The operational tactics of operating behind enemy lines, well, this is what you're getting right now. So I want to, you know, just say thank you for that. But yeah, you know, we can win on the numbers too. It's amazing
yes.
for me to think, just show up. That's all we got to do.
Well, and the other thing, Doug, is we covered 5 steps. We covered 5 steps of how do you get started. Identify why you're here. Get involved in small business. Get involved in making a tribe around you. Get your neighborhood together to listen to the Hagmans every night. Or maybe they just do it together once a week or something. But you have to start building that tribal mentality. Then take out a map and say, what part of this city is going to be our part? And then take a map of the county and start saying, hey, we're going to take back these counties. Because if we start taking back the counties, again, we nullify D.C. and whatever crazy crackpot stuff they come out of or come out with. So that's how you do it. What's important to you? Get devoted to back to what's in the important thing. Recommit to your wife. And as weird as that might sound, fixing a country is the same as fixing a business. I help so many people fix their business. One of the first things I do if they're married is I fix their marriage. And it's amazing how many times if I fix the marriage, the business actually straightens out. The same is true with politics. The same is true. Look at where we are now and the divorce rate we have now. Look at where we were 100 years ago and the lack of divorce rate we had 100 years ago. There's a correlation there, folks. They don't want you to think that or realize it, and then they'll fill you with a bunch of weirdness like, well, yeah, but those husbands were beating their wives. Those husbands were abusing their wives. Those wives didn't want to be married. That is a lie straight out of the pit of hell. If you look at letters coming out of World War I, they are some of the most romantic letters you will ever read in your life. If you look at letters going between husband and wife in the Revolutionary War, was there spousal abuse? Sure, there's spousal abuse now. 40 women just got raped at a musical fest in Sweden. But the reality is that there's a lie that these women back then were abused and beaten and unhappy. I cannot tell you how many women contact me and say, Josh, I want to be a stay-at-home wife. I want to be a stay-at-home mother. I want to be somebody who uplifts and works alongside my husband. I want to make him lunch. I want to, you know, make sure the kids are off to school well. But they've been taught that how dare you want that? Now, if you want to chop off your willy and call yourself a woman, that's okay, or that's fine. But if you want to provide for your children, how dare you? Folks, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. This is why we have to get past the lie. And men, start being men. It is okay. I cannot tell you the number of couples that I've coached, because I coach couples too, where the wife will tell me, Josh, I just want him to tell me what to do. Not in a mean way, not in a totalitarian sort of way, but she wants leadership. It's almost as if she was designed to be a helpmeet. Oh, wait a second. That's what that book said. And women have been taught not to want it. Men have been taught not to say it. Oh, I'm not going to say that. I'm not. And now we're to the point where, well, Josh, I don't even know. Should I open her door, or is that considered sexist? Do not tell me that there's not a correlation between that conversation and the New World Order. There's not a correlation between that conversation and chemtrails. You want to fix chemtrails? Entrepreneurship and marriage. You want to fix GMO? Entrepreneurship and marriage. You want to fix the lie behind the Smithsonian? Entrepreneurship and marriage. You want to fix the UFO lies? Entrepreneurship and marriage. But we get away from these things. It is absolutely about control.
Yeah. And we have the ability to control. I mean, we have that control ability or ability to retake control, but we don't realize it, like the cow facing the barbed wire fence and, 1,200 pounds against a very thin wire, when in fact it's all just conditioning. So we've been conditioned. And I can't tell you how many people, how many women, how many wives I've gotten emails from who've said, Doug, can you help me? My husband, he doesn't care. He's out to lunch, basically. He plays golf. He works. He doesn't want to have any. He won't listen to anyone's shows. He thinks that all of this is just BS and variations thereof, of course. What do you say to that woman, if I can ask? What do you say to that woman, or women like that who want to do the right thing, want to get their? I mean, how do you make their husbands, or how does the woman in a relationship, and I know you might say, well, look, I already said this, but just to reaffirm this, how does the woman in that relationship address the lack of leadership of the husband? Because at some point, things are going to get really bad, I got a feeling, in that relationship.
Well, what you have to do is you have to realize that your husband doesn't have to read what you read or listen to what you listen to in order to benefit from what you know. One of the best things I tell women is if you want to have a good leader in your house, tell him what a great leader he is. Say, you know what, honey? When you made that decision to get pizza tonight instead of Greek food, I just want to tell you that was a great decision, and leave it at that. And then the next day, you know what? You were right when you said, wait until after the rain to mow the lawn. If we would have started beforehand, we would have got halfway through it. I'm so glad you're a good leader. And leave it at that. What happens is so many women want to have this massive conversation that fixes everything by the end of that conversation. And that's not going to happen. That's not how men work. So you kind of have to motivate him a little bit, hey, you're doing a great job, and what you're going to find is he's going to naturally want to get that praise again. He just is. Every human on the planet works this way. He's going to want to get that praise again. Don't be like, oh my goodness, you have to listen to Josh and Doug talk about what's happening in the world, and honey, you're not paying attention if you don't. No, don't do that. He'll never listen then. Just do what I just talked about for a while. And when he says, man, what changed? This is awesome, honey. What change came over you? Say, oh, it was something that Josh and Doug were talking about a few months ago. Really? And don't say, yeah, that's why you should listen. Just leave it at really.
Leave it at
because
that.
Now
yeah.
He's kind of curious. Oh, well, maybe it's not as bad. But see, if you tell him how bad he is, that's a blow to his pride. That's a blow to his ego. That's emotion. And that's going to get you the response that you're not looking for. But, Doug, something? I want to cover something real quick that I sure. wanted to cover. We've known each other for a few years now. I don't know if the first time I was on was 3 years ago or 4 years ago. But I wanted to bring this up because we were talking about something on a show that we did together. And we have been proven absolutely dead on right. I was on your show a number of years ago, and we were talking about population decline. And everybody and their brother was sending me emails, Josh, you're nuts. The population's exploding. That's just crazy population decline. Well, since then, it has come out that 48.5% of women in this country have zero children. Since then, Japan lost over 1 million people. Since then, we have now started accepting women into combat roles, and it's not because of equality. I have on my show, there's a clip of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs saying quite plainly, well, I think everybody knows now we're running out of people. Kindergarten classes have gotten smaller and smaller since you and I talked about this. And just, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, a report came out that said the birth rate has hit the lowest it's ever been in recorded history. So I just wanted to let everybody know that when Doug and I talked about that years ago, that it was years ahead of where everybody else is now. And this is why I love alternative media. And I just wanted to bring that up before we ran out of time.
You know, thank you for doing that. And I could tell you, this was, it was in September, I believe it was 2014, September 4th of 2014. I believe your first appearance was 2013, so that would be 3 years that you've been part of our program. And I remember that program specifically about population, and I remember getting some blowback on that as well. But you're 100% right. So go back, folks, to our September 4th of 2014 program, and there it is. So fantastic! Wow, well, you've done it again, man. You've closed us out. Thank you for doing the heavy lifting tonight. I really appreciate it. I know that you've got to be exhausted. My goodness, doing 2 hours of your own show. But I just want to say thank you for helping me out as being a co-host and carrying the weight tonight. Is there anything in the final 2 minutes that you might want to say? Anything at all?
I just want to say that what you and Joe are doing is wonderful. I love the fact that you guys are on the air. I'm thankful that you're not on the air when I'm on the air. I'm glad Joe's recovering well. And I guess just real quickly, people can follow me, joshtully.com, the Josh Tully channel on YouTube. Yep. Go over there and subscribe. What else? We constantly do seminars and speaking engagements. I love, love, love talking to churches. Churches love it too. It's just a win-win. So if you're a pastor of a church, reach out and let's make that happen. What else? No, I
highly recommend you. Yeah, and I recommend both of your books, but especially the book I cannot pronounce or haven't been able to pronounce yet correctly today. But joshtully.com, and from there you can certainly go to subscribe to his YouTube channel, as he said, and watch his programs. I do love watching your programs. A consummate professional, as I mentioned during the break, we're gonna kind of model a few segments of our show after years. So good stuff coming ahead. Josh, thank you so much for being a part
thank
of
you,
our
my
program
friend.
In our life, man. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. Right. Have a great night, guys.
Thank you. Folks, that was Josh Tully. What a great guy. I mean, you know, there it is laid out, at least in my estimation, laid out right before us what we need to do. And look, I know that a lot of this is not, you might think, well, it doesn't apply to me, and you might come up with a lot of reasons, and I understand that. Hey, I'm too old, or I've got a criminal record. What can I possibly do? I get all that, and I think a lot of people are in that mentality, but that mentality is a product of your own conditioning. That mentality, that thinking, is a product or a consequence of the programming, the Tavistock Institute. This is what they do. Hey, you can't break through the cage, for example. And just like the elephant that Josh Tully was talking about, you know, I did read somewhere, and I'm not, it sounds logical, where when the elephants are small, they put these leg irons and weights on their legs to make them more immobile. All right. So, more trainable, obviously. And that's where we are. Years upon years and decades of listening to the evening news with Walter Cronkite, getting our news from them, from him, and that bevy of a conglomerate of corporate news stations. Schools, being educated in the schools, the school districts, being told that you can't fight City Hall. All of these are lies from the pit of hell. They really are, because we can fight City Hall. We can get out there and say, you know what, we are going to take back our section, or take back what we need to take back as far as this country is concerned, or at least for my family, my immediate neighborhood, whatever it might be. Because you heard Josh say, look at the local politics, look at the sheriff's departments. And I didn't know this. The sheriff's departments being closed and replaced by county police forces. Oh, that's a big deal. Because the sheriff's departments are the most powerful law enforcement agencies in the state, basically. I mean, we don't have time to get into the mechanics of it, but trust me when I say you don't want to lose your county's sheriff. You don't want to lose your sheriff's department. So all of that combined, I hope you found that this was very enlightening, because I did, as I sat back and listened to this, and I'm glad he carried the weight on this. And by the way, I just want to say this. I got the email, and thanks. Somebody wrote me and said, you know, why are you taking all that big pharma stuff for your cold and or whatever you've got, the crud that you've got? And I was just trying to make a joke to legitimize or attempt to explain away my inability to talk coherently and string sentences together. So, you know, that was not successful. We are. I am taking Health Masters and essential oils. Believe in those products. In fact, Health Masters is boy, some kick butt stuff. Their vitamin C, you can tell the difference. But I just want to, because, you know, somebody had written me and said, yeah, it's kind of hypocritical, don't you think? No, I was just kind of trying to make a joke and being funny and trying to justify my inability to talk. So that's that. Watch carefully, folks. And we're going to be talking about this tomorrow, amongst other things, with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer here. We're going to be talking about a number of initiatives with respect to what's happening in our court systems. You're going to want to join us tomorrow. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, he's traveling, and hence he's going to be here tomorrow. You're going to want to know where he's traveling to and what he's doing. You're going to find that boots on the ground, we have them, and we have people in the game. PTSalt.com. So tomorrow's going to be a really great show. I would urge everyone to make sure you tell your family and friends about tomorrow's show, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com. And I just want to say, lastly, thank you so much to Minuteman Stove. All right, Minuteman Stove. Folks, if you haven't gone to Minuteman Stove, go there. It's actually MinutemanStove.com. Real simple, MinutemanStove.com. Grab a hold of their rocket stove right now for a limited time to our listeners. Free shipping on Minuteman rocket stoves and fire starters. And they're now shipping to Canada. This is a fantastic item for your preps. I love ours. And I'm not a guy that cooks, you know, using this kind of stuff. But if I can work this, I mean, it's pretty idiot proof, as I can show you, but it really works, and it makes everything really that much easier. MinutemanStove.com. Thanks for being part of our family as well. And if you're a journalist out there talking, exposing the truth, watch out, because they're coming for you. That's right. As InfoWars reporters found out, gee whiz, report on the U.S. border situation. Have your guns taken away? as well as your freedom, at least for 2 hours. You want your guns back? You gotta pay a little fine. Don't pass go. Join us tomorrow, folks, when Coach Dave Dobmar joins us in studio. Till tomorrow. God bless. Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.